The epistle for this octave day of Christmas is taken from that of St. Paul to Titus. Beloved, the grace of God our Savior has appeared to all men, instructing us in order that, rejecting ungodliness and worldly lusts, we may live temperately and justly and piously in this world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious coming of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and cleanse for himself an acceptable people, pursuing good works. Thus speak and exhort in Christ Jesus our Lord. Please stand for continuation of the Holy Gospel according to St. Luke. At that time, when 8 days were fulfilled for the circumcision of the child, his name was called Jesus, the name given him by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Thus far the words of the Holy Gospel. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the 8 days were fulfilled for his circumcision, his name was called Jesus. We begin the new year on this octave day of Christmas, not only looking back on the great and profound mystery of the Incarnation, God's coming and dwelling with his people in human flesh, but already we are looking forward to those somber days of Holy Week, concluding with the most joyous of feasts, Easter. Today, Holy Mother Church presents us in this Mass the reason for the Incarnation, Christ's redemptive sacrifice. The Gospel reading relates to us the story of the circumcision of Christ. It is here we are told, at this first shedding of his blood, that he is finally given the name that God has demanded. It is here in this first shedding of this infant's blood that he is called Jesus. It is here in this first shedding of his blood that he is called Savior. St. Thomas tells us, a single drop of the blood shed at this moment in Christ's circumcision was enough to redeem all mankind. Instead, this moment only serves as a pledge of his passion and death later on. Today, he is merely sanctified, that is, set apart for the service of God, as the firstborn, as a sacrifice. In the old law, it was the firstborn who was considered a sacrifice to God. But only in Christ would this be perfected in a real sacrifice. Only in the Son of God. The sacrifice is hinted at in the introit for today, the prophecy of Isaiah 9:6. We read, "The government is upon his shoulder." Christ has this government, both as true God and as true man. As the second person of the Holy Trinity, through him all things were made, and without him nothing that has been made was made. As one possessing the divine nature, he governs and preserves all of creation. However, as man, Christ is king for three reasons. First, by the nature of his hypostatic union. Second, by the plenitude of grace possessed by him. And third, he acquired claim to kingship over us by his sacrifice on the cross. And by this last claim, the government was most literally upon his shoulder. Carrying his throne and crowned with a crown of thorns, he proceeded to the throne room of Golgotha, where once seated, with his last cry, he called all of his subjects to himself and established his kingdom. As it said in the Vexilla Regis, "Regnavit al igno Deus," God has ruled from the tree. Christ as God rules from eternity as creator. Christ as man rules for eternity as recreator. Thus, in the name of Jesus, every knee should bow of those that are in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. The Church also places before our eyes another reality, that Christ, coming once as Savior, will come again to each man as judge. In the epistle we read, that denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. We also read in the offertory, "Justice and judgment are your throne." So why are we being presented today with these two realities? Because our mother does not want us to get lax with our good resolutions and penances from Advent. As we close one year and look forward to a new one, she reminds us of the incomprehensible price that was paid that we might be saved, and the responsibilities which we have to God. She reminds us that we have a debt to be paid and our account will be reckoned. Denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live soberly and justly and godly in this world, looking for the blessed hope and coming of the glory of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Advent being finished, we are being asked to forego the temptation of looking back, thinking, right, that's over, we'll put that away until next year, and then we'll drag it out again. We're being asked rather to look forward towards the end and push on valiantly, fighting the good fight, living godly lives in charity for the salvation of our souls. We're being asked to push on and increase our devotion to the sacraments, the graces of which were paid for by the blood of Christ. We are asked to look forward to the cross, that we might, in hope, carry all of the sufferings that await us in this new year, suffering that has been sanctified and made valuable by the sufferings of Christ. In the new year, we have the custom of making resolutions. Usually we make them out of worldly concerns, such as going on a diet or going to the gym or being more productive at work to get that promotion that's just been hanging over us for the last year. Today, Holy Mother of the Church is asking you to make resolutions for the good of your soul. We all have many things to work on. Perhaps there's a particular sin that we fall into with great regularity. Let us resolve to destroy it, especially if it be mortal sin. Perhaps there are people to whom we show little regard or charity. Let's resolve to try to love them as Christ loves them, as Christ loves us. These are but a few examples of many. We can all find something if we examine our consciences. But let us primarily leave here resolved in this coming year to at least love God more and the world less. That though his throne be justice and judgment, when our good Lord calls us, we might find him seated on mercy. May God bless you all in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.